It's good. Anyway, it's good to be here. And Pastor Robin Denise, thanks. It's an honor to be back home. And, you know, Catherine and I, this is our home church. We grew up here. I was saved in this church, baptized in this church, baptized in the Holy Ghost in this church, got married in this church, ministry started in this church. And a lot of that is through discipleship and mentorship. And some of our greatest mentors is Robin Denise. They prayed over us, they sowed into us, spoke into our lives ministry-wise, personally as well. And Pastor D so many times was just a great pastor, someone to just go into her office, get everything out in the open, get smacked by spiritual mum, get back on your way and off you go. And so I honor both of you this morning. Can we give it up for some of the best people in the world? Rob and Denise, just amazing, amazing people. And someone else who's amazing as well is Karen DeLange is in the house, and her and her partner Dusty are amazing people. But Karen has a special place in our heart as well. Her and her late husband, Pastor Barry, for many years pastored a church here, and they were influential in our lives as well. I'm best friends with their eldest son, and you know, for many years after every district meeting, all of us young kids would just go out and just listen to stories from Pastor Barry about reaching just people who we would just thought were unreachable. And they really inspired us to break out of the mold, to burst out of the bubble and really be ministers to every people, to every person, every people. That was bad English, wasn't it? Every person. And so Karen, I just honor you and you and Chris as well. Amazing couple, amazing people. It's good to see Brian Scott as well. Man. You're awesome, seriously. I have a theory that he is Peter Pan. Just young forever. And Brian, you're amazing. We love you, we honor you as well. And years of service in China as a missionary and here as well in Mackay. And so you're an amazing. It's good to see new friends, old friends as well. And Ipswich, yes, we're pastoring in Ipswich. Beautiful city, one of the fastest growing LGAs, certainly in Queensland and in Australia as well. And we pastor a church there called Journey Church. We have two locations that we work with. And right now my assistant pastor is preaching at one and my other campus pastor is preaching at another. So they're having a great time. Our church is doing well. You know, we're future focused. We want to win our city. We're partnering with our council more and more with certain projects in that city. So if you're ever in Ipswich, come and join us. We would love for you to come and worship with us. Well, we're going to get into the word. Are you ready? Yeah? Awesome. Galatians 5:22 we're going to read from. And it's right here. And we're going to read this all together. Are you ready? A bit of crowd participation this morning. Pato, so good to see you, dude. Seriously. One of the coolest people. When we left Mackay, that year a cyclone came and blew down. We had this beautiful tree in our backyard. Blew it, do you remember this? Blew it down. It's like, how do I cut a tree up when I'm living in Brisbane? So I called up Pato and he went around there with a chainsaw, cut it up. Anyway, I'm just reminiscing. So if you're new here this morning or don't know me, this might happen throughout the whole sermon. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, all together. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And who here just thought that we described you as a person? Oh, one, here we go, fantastic. No, but truly, this is really who, this should describe who we are. Right here are the characteristics of you. Right, when we describe who you are as a person, these are the things that we should say about you. Because here's the truth. When you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, this is what comes out. Right, what does Paul say? I couldn't care less if you're speaking great within the language of humans and of angels. But if you don't love, what's the point in all of that? And really, this is the same here, right? When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm as Pentecostal as they come. I will speak in tongues until there's no more tongue to wag, right? But the truth is this, if you speak in tongues for 12 hours, but none of this comes out of your life, couldn't care less if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, if you can speak in tongues, right? But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is the life that should be coming out of us. These aren't gifts given to us by God. Oh, but Tim, you don't know, I just don't have the gift of patience. It's not a gift, right? It's a characteristic of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But Tim, I don't have the gift of joy. I'm just always cranky and not happy. No, right? Joy is something that you have when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. These are characteristics of someone filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I was stalking you as a church and seeing what you have been preaching the last year, and cool. And I saw that you had missionaries come through and preach on love, agape. And because I was going to preach that, but someone else did it, so I thought I'm not going to cover that. Instead, this morning, I want to cover two of these things. I want to cover kindness and goodness. That's what I want to preach about this morning. I think it's a great topic coming into the new year. You know, what should I do with my life? Well, I'm going to try and inspire you this morning that this year, that you live a year of kindness and goodness. Right, we're going to unpack what those two things are because it was a revelation for me. So I'm going to share it with you. Kindness and goodness are the practical and tangible ways to show God's love. The practical and tangible ways to show God's love. These two things here actually make your faith visible. And this morning I want to ask the question, is your faith visible? Is your faith visible to your wife? Is your faith visible to your husband? Is your faith visible to your children? Is it visible to your colleagues? Is your faith visible to your employer? Is your faith visible to the employees you have for your business? Is your faith visible to fellow road users? Or do you give them a wave? Full of joy. Is your faith visible when you're commenting on those social media posts? Well, don't go there, right? Is your faith visible when you're talking about people behind their back? All right? Kindness and goodness makes your faith visible. So we're going to talk about that this morning. So number one, let's unpack what is kindness, right? What is kindness? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Right? This is produced in our life. A few months ago, I was talking about this particular topic in our church, and I text 50 of our people and said, hey, what does kindness mean to you? And here's some of the answers that came up right here. Having a better reaction in the circumstances you face. I thought, oh, that was a pretty good answer. Intentional thoughtfulness, I like that one. Not just thoughtful, but you're intentionally thoughtful. I like that, that's kindness. Generosity, helping others, patience, prioritizing others, compassion, extending grace. I liked this one, a kind tone. Who needs the gift of a kind tone sometimes? Yeah, right, no, the preacher's got his hand up. A kind tone, here's what people said were what kindness was. I asked them, who in your life was kind? To 50 people in our church, and only two of them said me. I was a bit upset with that. And anyway, whatever, right? These are all great ways of describing what kindness is, right? Colossians 3:12, let's check this out. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, who's God's chosen ones? You, right? Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, kindness should be coming out of our life. Paul goes on to say, in fact, don't just have it coming out, but have it on, right? Your whole life should be wrapped up in kindness. It should come out of you. It should be on you. So what is it? What is kindness? Is it just being nice? Is that what kindness is? Just a nice person? Is that what the Holy Spirit wants from us? The word kindness in both these meanings is the word Christos. And it means this, it actually means to be useful. That's what the word kind means. The word kindness doesn't mean to be nice, although it's good to be nice. But the word kindness actually means to be useful. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, What should come out of you is love, joy, peace, patience, usefulness. That's what should come out of your life. And the question that I want to ask you coming into 2026 is, are you ready to be useful? Are you ready for your life to be used? Are you ready for your life to go, you know what, Holy Spirit? I'm kind, but it's not about kindness. It's not about niceness. It's about being useful. Here's a question for you. But how do you be useful to him? Okay, what gifts or talents has God put on your life? And are you using them just in this place? Right? Are you using the gifts and talents that God has on your life here? Right? Or are you sitting, rocking up the church each week, right? Consuming, but not participating. Let's not be that kind of Holy Spirit-filled Christian. Because a Holy Spirit-filled Christian is useful. Does that make sense? All right? And that's what we're called to be. And the question I have for you is, where do you need to show kindness, not just niceness? I'm sure you're all kind, all right? But are you being useful, right? Where do you need to show usefulness and not just niceness? Proverbs 11:17 says this, those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. About 10 years ago, we went to Tasmania. About 7 years ago. We went to Tasmania and we drove around it with our family and my parents. We had Winnebagos and we drove around and we got to this little township called Bishano, and we pulled into Bishano to fill up the motorhomes that we were driving. And as I was filling up, I saw an old dingy car rock up, and what looked like a single mum got out and the kids were in the back, and the boot was filled up with boxes and bedding and all this stuff. And just looked, oh man, she looked like she had a rough year, right? And so I'm filling up and I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna pay it forward. I'm gonna pay for this girl's fuel. And so I filled up both of our cars, went into the into where you pay, and I paid for my fuel. And I said, hey, I'll pay for that one as well. And you know, I want to be kind. I want to be useful. And so I paid for her fuel, and you know, and then she walked in. She was getting some milk or something, and I paid for it. And as I walked past her, I said, hey, I'm just gonna let you know, I've paid for your fuel. I hope you have a really awesome day from here on in. And as I walked out, she chased me out going, what do you mean? And I just got into the car and said, let's go, let's book it out of here. And so we took off, and I gotta be honest with you, I felt pretty good about myself. Like I was driving and I was talking to myself in my head, I'm like, Tim, you're a really cool person. Like of all the people in the world, everyone should meet you. You're really kind, you know? And I felt good about myself. It's like, Tim, you're so generous. You know, you're so cool, so good, so kind. And I felt good for ages, I felt good, all right? Because the truth is, right, that those who are kind benefit themselves, right? And here's the truth, there's actually science behind this now. The science is only catching up to what was written. Can we go to the next slide? Check this out. Performing acts of kindness triggers the release of endorphins, which act as the body's natural painkillers and stress relievers, right? So scientists are now catching up to the Bible, right? And they figured out that when we do kind things, right, it releases stress. Rhetorical question, who had a stressful year last year, right? I'll tell you how to relieve stress. Be kind to someone, right? Kindness also stimulates the release of other feel-good hormones like serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin. Check this out. Leading to a helper's high. That's what I had. I helped this young woman and then I was on a high, right? I had the helper's high that improves mood. My mood was pretty good, right? It reduces stress, right? Who knows that I wasn't stressful for the next couple of hours, right? You know, it increases overall well-being. Let me tell you the cheapest way to get well-being in your life. You don't need to go to a $1,000 a night wellness retreat. Just go be kind to someone, right? And it increases overall well-being, right? The science is just catching up to what the Bible says, that those who are kind benefit themselves. If you wanna have a year of absolute breakthrough in your life in terms of ministry, Christian ministry, be kind. Don't be nice, be nice. It's not about niceness, be kind, be useful. Ask yourself the question when you go into the workplace on Monday, how can I be useful today? Everyone knows you're kind, but how can you be useful for God? How can you be useful for his kingdom? Because remember, it's the Holy Spirit coming out, right? The Spirit is moving in and through and out of your life, and God has called you to make a difference in the world that you're in, amen? Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. What is kindness? It's usefulness. Where does it begin? It begins with a tender heart. It begins with a softening of your heart. It begins with forgiveness. Forgiving those who maybe weren't tender toward you, right? That's where this all begins. It's a heart issue. If you want to know, well, how can I be useful? How can I be more kind? Simple answer is this. Check your heart. Check your heart. If your heart is hard towards stepping out for God, if your heart is hard towards somebody, it's going to be hard to be kind to them, isn't it? When you've got unforgiveness, you can't be kind, useful, when there's unforgiveness there. It all starts in the heart. Here's some characteristics about a hard heart. Insensitivity, a lack of empathy, constant criticism, difficulty forgiving, a resistance to God. You don't celebrate, and you don't celebrate other people's wins. You suppress emotion. Right? These are the characteristics of a hard heart. How do you fix that? Soften the heart and be kind. Soften the heart and be kind. Kindness is a heart issue, right? Now, come check out this. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, and let's do a bit of eschatology. You love a bit of eschatology, end times preaching? You ready? Come on, here we go. Let's talk about the end time. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. That word terrible, it means difficult. It also means to be lowered into the void. Some scholars say the word, you can translate it to darkness, to evil. Right, there's going to be evil in the last days. Right, so let's check out what this evil is. Let's check it out. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited. Right? If you want to know if you're in the last days, just look at that list and go, are we there yet? Right? Selfishness is what you could just put all those words in and go, or what you could do is take them all out and just use the word unkind. All right? Because all those words here are about self. What can I get out of life? What can I get out of my marriage? What can I get out of my workplace? All these things are about me, me, me. And selfishness is the beginning of being unkind. Because what is being kind? It's being useful, all right? None of these things here are useful to others. And Paul says this, he says, have nothing to do with such people. Have nothing to do, that's pretty full on, isn't it? Don't you think? Have nothing to do with people who are about themselves. That's pretty full on. Why does Paul say that? Why is he that psycho, right? Because I think Paul knows this. Rotten fruit rottens fruit. Rotten fruit rottens fruit. I don't know if you've ever seen Clarkson's Farm. I think it's funny and great TV show. What I learned in Clarkson's Farm was, there was one time, it's a TV show about a famous guy who buys a farm. And he runs a farm, he has no idea what he's doing. But in one episode, he's planted potatoes and harvested potatoes, couldn't sell them, and the potatoes started to go rotten. And what he realized is that as one potato went rotten, it then affected the other potato, the good ones. And very quickly, the whole batch of potatoes went rotten, all because one was rotten. I think Paul says that because he understands that rotten fruit rottens fruit. Have you ever heard the phrase, hurt people, hurt people? Right, it's that. And that's just being unkind. It's being unhelpful. It's not being useful. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're called to be useful. A critical spirit is contagious, and a critical spirit is not useful, right? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are called to be useful. And that's why Paul goes straight to the point. With these traits, he says, stay away. Keep yourself useful. Keep yourself kind. Don't become unkind. Don't become about yourself. Question for you is, who do you need to show kindness to? Number two, what is goodness? That's kindness. Kindness is being useful. What does it mean to be good? Because only God is good. You know, I sent that text message out and I got a few people going, oh, Tim, no one's good, only God's good. You're missing the point. Anyway, what does it mean to be good? Because it's clearly something that comes out of us when we're filled with the Holy Spirit is goodness. And I canvassed our church and here's some of the things that they said. Someone who makes good decisions, considerate, trustworthy, decisions based on integrity, confronting darkness with love. I like this one. Someone who strives to be good like Christ is good. You know, honesty, kindness turned to action. Well, you and I both know that kindness is about being useful. So it's certainly about action. Being good, I think, is this. Being good is making sure that you're constantly having kindness flow out from your heart. I think that's what it means to be good, right? That there's this constant stream of kindness coming out. And that's what goodness is about, right? Because Christ was constantly kind. Not nice, kind. Jesus was always useful to whoever called on his name. Always. He was always useful. And we call that good. And I think Jesus is calling us to always be useful. And you'll find that as you constantly are being useful, there's gonna be goodness coming out of your life. Luke 6:35, this is what Jesus says. But love your enemies and do good. Let's try that again. But love your enemies and to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. Why? Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Love your enemies and be good to them. Why? Because Jesus is good, even to the ungrateful and the wicked. The Bible also says that before we were enemies, God still loved us and sent his son for us. Right? God is good to us. And it's our job to make sure that we are good to others. If we're to be imitators of God, then we're to imitate his goodness and his kindness. And it's not something that we do when we feel like it, or when, you know, it's people that we like being kind to. Notice it doesn't say this. It doesn't say, love the people that love you back. Notice that? Notice it doesn't say, but love your enemies when you can be bothered. It doesn't say that, right? Do good to them and lend to them without expectation, because God did it for you. And if we're to be imitators of God, then we are to show kindness and goodness to everybody, especially to those people that maybe weren't kind and good to us. That's who we should be kind and good to, right? Especially to your enemies. Now, it's a pretty strong word because, to be honest, we don't really have enemies, do we? Really? We live in a pretty peaceful society. I think it's harsh to go, love your enemy. It's like, but who's my enemy? So we're gonna just maybe translate a little bit, and we're gonna say this. Maybe another way that we could translate it is, anyone that becomes an adversary in any moment, right? So love everyone who becomes an adversary in any moment of your life, right? And that could relate to many things. You know, maybe your spouse. I've been married now for 20 years, and you know, I've learned that another word for marriage is war. Have you learned that as well? Or just me? You know, maybe you married an angel, maybe you married a saint. I married an angel, but she married me, right? And so often in our marriage, right, we've been at war for the dumbest things, right? And we go to battle and trying to work this thing out. And, you know, in fact, one time, I'm gonna share this story. Are you ready? Listen, I could be at war right now and I don't even know it. And, so let's see. No talking to people after, right? I'm pretty laid back. I'm real calm, that kind of guy. My wife, though, is super competitive, right? Super competitive, right? And one night we're playing this board game with some friends, and some of them might be in the room here. Playing a board game with some friends, and I was winning for once in my life in this board game. And let me tell you, I wasn't a very good winner. I was boasting, right? I was one of those people that you shouldn't hang out with, right? I was boasting in my victory, and I was making Kat get upset. And I was close to the end of the game, and just right at the end, Kat, hey, no comments from the front, please. Will the minister of Catherine please be quiet? Right? I was winning, that's all that needs to be said. No comments. Security, take her out, please. Can I just remove her? Malachi, jump on her, go. Stop being disobedient to your parent, go. No. Anyway, she got up. It was 9 o'clock at night, and she said, I'm going home. You know what I did? I kept winning, right? Kept playing the game. I'm like, see ya. Right? And she stormed off, and my friends are like, damn, like you guys aren't newlyweds. I'm like, so? Right? I'm winning. I'm here to win. Right? And she went home. We didn't talk for about 4 years. Great marriage. No. Was I an idiot in that moment? Yes. Pastor Rob, hey. Was I unhelpful? Absolutely. In that moment, was I kind? Was I useful in that moment? No. Knowing what I know now, should I have done something different? Absolutely. I should have paused the game. I should have got up. I should have walked outside with her and then waved her off, right? No. No. It's a game, Tim. I missed the bit in Revelation where St. Peter says, hey, come in. Oh, Tim, hey. Hey, mate, that game. Man, you rocked it. You're in. You did so well. Destroyed everyone. So good. It was just a game. And in that moment of pride, I chose pride over being useful to my wife. I should have been kinder. Should have been useful. I should have gone, Tim, it's just a stupid game. All right, but I didn't. I was unkind. In that moment, I was useless. All right. We're to be imitators of God, and even to people that where maybe there's a bit of adversary happening. Maybe there's a colleague in your life. Maybe there's a neighbor getting on your nerves. Maybe the person sitting next to you, who knows? Let's be real. Are you being kind? Are you being good? Are you choosing to allow the Holy Spirit to come out in your life? Because when you choose kindness and goodness, a third thing happens, which is this. Kindness and goodness heal the heart. Because remember, it's a heart issue. It's all a heart issue. Being kind, useful, and good is all a heart issue. And when we choose kindness and goodness, it heals the heart. Maybe you've been wronged. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you're offended. Maybe someone took advantage of you. Maybe someone did something illegal toward you. Maybe someone destroyed something of you. They stole your joy. Whatever it is. The way to be healed is to choose kindness and goodness because they heal the heart. Romans 12:21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with revenge. No. Who wish I said that? No, me neither, right? No. But don't be overcome by evil. What is evil? Well, we just learned about it, what evil times are. Evil times are selfishness. Don't be overcome by the selfishness of others, but overcome the selfishness of others with good. That's how you overcome evil, which means this, kindness and goodness is a form of spiritual warfare. If you want to go to bat and push back the curtains of darkness in your life, in your family, in the family history, how you do that is you fight with kindness and goodness. You fight with being useful, and you fight with being good, allowing kindness to constantly flow in and through your life. When you reject your false self, right, one of my favorite authors, he's a Roman Catholic Franciscan monk, and he says this. He says, the false self is anything within you that is of your old nature. That is your false self. And your true self is when you reject your whole false self and you take on the image of Christ. Because Jesus was the perfect human, right? That's why he had to become man, right? Because there's only a man who could save humanity. And so Christ becomes this perfect human, which we are only fully human when we have Christ within us, right? When there's a little bit in there, it's like, Jesus, you can have all of me, but that bit there, no, you're not fully human. There's a little bit of your false identity. When you live in your false identity, your heart will always become hard. But when we go, you know what, I'm going to get rid of the false self and take on my true self, which is myself in Christ. Christ was even good to those who rejected him. Christ was good to those who put him on the cross. Christ was good to those who betrayed him. Who should I be kind to and good to? Well, if you are living in the wholeness of who God's called you to be, it's everyone, but especially those who become an adversary in your life in any moment. That's who you should be useful for. That's who you should be good for. Don't overcome evil. So don't be overcome by evil, selfishness, but overcome selfishness with good. Marcus 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The Hebrew word for good is the word tov, and it means God-given purpose. So what is it good? What does it mean to be good? Here's what it means to be good. It means to live in your God-given destiny. Kindness is to be useful, and being good is to live in the plan that God has for your life. And so when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your life becomes useful and you walk in the purpose that God has for you. That's what it means to be kind and good. And I want to inspire you and encourage you that today, that you would put a line in the sand and you would say, you know what, 2026, I'm gonna be kind and good. I'm gonna be useful, and I'm gonna find out why I'm on this planet for. I'm gonna find out what it means to have a God-given purpose, and I'm gonna walk in that. Amen? Right? This year, let's be kind and let's be good, yeah? Tov means to make visible the invisible God, right? Let's do that. Maybe you're here this morning, if we get the band up, maybe you're here this morning and you've never heard that there's a God that loves you, cares for you, gave his life for you. And this morning you're saying, you know what, Tim? I want to say yes to that kindness. I want to say yes to that goodness. I was 17 years old, selfish, all about me, which only led to depression. And one Sunday morning I woke up, I lived in Canberra Street, and I knew about this church at MCC. I got up one Sunday and I just went to church because I was like, there has to be something good in this world. And at 17, I went to church. It was March 2001. I rocked up to church. Pastor Rob was preaching. I have no idea what about. But at the very end, he said, hey, if there's someone here who has a broken heart, maybe you've been unkind to yourself. Maybe you've been useless to yourself. You need to know that there's a God that loves you and wants to be useful in your life. And at 17, I said, that's me. And I went down the front and I became a Christian. I said yes to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. And maybe you've been useless to yourself. Maybe you've been unkind to yourself. Maybe others have been unkind to you. And there's this hurt, there's this void, this hole. I've come here this morning to tell you that there's a man named Jesus. His name means healer. His name means salvation. It means redemption. It means to give your freedom back. And all you have to do is just say yes, that's it. You just gotta say yes. I did it. Hundreds of people here did it. Maybe today is your day to say, you know what, I'm gonna say yes to Jesus. So just close our eyes here. And if right now you're saying, you know what, Tim? I wanna say yes to Jesus. I wanna say yes to kindness. And I wanna say yes to goodness. I wanna know what God's plan is for my life. You've never done this. You've never said yes to Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Tim, would you pray for me? I want you to just do something really brave, really quickly. I'm not gonna get you out, but I do wanna know who I'm praying for. If that's you, could you just give me a quick wave right where you are? You're saying, Tim, pray for me. I wanna say yes to Jesus. Awesome, one, two. Anyone else? Three. You're not saying, Tim, I wanna say yes to Jesus. Four. Anybody else? Five. You've never done this. You've never said yes to Jesus. Anybody else? Six. Seven. Anybody else saying, Tim, pray for me? Awesome. Just really quickly, those seven people, can you just put your hand up really high just so I know I've got all seven? Just really high, just so I've got it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Oh, I'm glad I did that. Awesome. Awesome. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you're saved. It's that simple, right? It's just saying yes to Jesus. So here's what I want to do. For those eight people, right, when I'm going to pray this, you pray it after me. And I just want you to just pray this with all sincerity of your heart. The rest of us, we're going to pray as well, right? And we're going to support these eight people. So here we go, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, paying for my sins, giving me a fresh start. Today I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me for going my own way. Today I repent. Be the Lord of my life. And with all of my heart, I'm gonna find out what pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, eight people, let's give the Lord a praise this morning. It's the Lord who builds the church. Come on, there's eight more people. There's a party in heaven right now. That's a good day in church. So good. Let's stand. Let's stand up, come on. 2026. You know the... What does it hold for us? As Pastor Rob said before, a lot of uncertainty. But here's the truth. You can actually walk out of here today with certainty that number one, Jesus is Lord. And number two, that you can be used this year for a God-given purpose. Yeah. That's what you can be certain for. Amen. Hey, we're gonna worship. If you need prayer this morning, come out. I'm gonna be here, Kat and our prayer team. And we're gonna pray for you if you want prayer. Otherwise, we're gonna worship. Okay. Let's go.